17 and 19, the odd verses, if you'll join me. And then I'll read the even ones for you. The Bible says this, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Dear Father, I pray that you'll please help me this morning. This is Father's Day, and you directed my heart to a particular passage and a particular theme for this message. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll help me convey it. I'm just the mouthpiece. I want to be clean of heart, clean of motive this morning. Lord, I don't want to get in the way of what you want to do. And I pray that you want to work through your word. I know you want to. I pray that you're able to. As we sit, Lord, may we listen with receptive hearts. May there be good ground for your seed to fall into this morning, bring forth fruit. Thank you for dads, for fathers, for men. Lord, may we be the kind of men you long for us to be. Bless the time together and song and the message to follow in Christ's name and amen. This is a blessing this morning. Amy Reynolds is home visiting, and Brother Tom was slated to sing. So he said, "Do you care if my children sing with me?" I said, "Man, what a blessing on Father's Day." Amen. Stand on the platform. I want to say something. Tom Thomason receives nothing from this church. You up here, Brother Tom? You're crying already? That's good. Amen.
You did it.
I know. That's all right. He receives nothing from this church, compensation for all that he does in leading the songs and the music here. He comes from downtown Chicago on Wednesday nights to be here. He's faithful to soul winning. He's faithful to everything that goes on, just as a layman. And his children are in church. And they're not just in church. They're serving in churches, working in churches. Brother Danny is not here this morning. If he was here, I'm not sure they'd let him sing anyway. So he can't carry a tune. But he would complete the circle. So this is a blessing to have this dad and his children sing for us this morning.
I get through this. Amen.
Swing a cup of tea, sitting out here with my memories. I'm so glad we chose to serve the Lord. So many paths we could have gone, this narrow path stretched out so long. As I look back, how could I ask for more? To gain what we'll never lose. And now I ask myself, what was there to choose?
Our little girl's grown up and gone. The precious memories linger on.
I'm so glad we chose to serve the Lord.
Love of the Father showed through me shines on now so far from me.
Does my hold a richer reward? As for me and my house, we chose to serve the Lord. I can't even now recall what we could not afford. We gave what we could not give to gain what we'll never lose. And now I ask myself, what was there to choose? For those who sit every day waiting for the child who's gone astray, you'll be glad. Should go. The Bible says when he is old, you we could not keep, to gain what we'll never lose. And now I ask myself, what was there to choose? Choose you this day. Who will you serve? Choose you this day.
That family is represented, several families sitting out here this morning who've made that choice to serve God. You look back on it, you have to really, that song's right. What was there to choose? The world? Heaven, help us. They got nothing to offer. Nothing. Tremendous song this morning. That's a blessing, I'll tell you. Every picture we take now, there's one less child. But when he calls and says, "Well, I preached this morning. We had seven visitors there, Dad, and that's worth it. It really is. There is no better choice than to serve God. That's wonderful. Now you mess me up. I mess you up. Now you mess me up. Okay. I want to preach on Abraham, the father of faithful fathers. For I know him, God said, that he will command his children and his household after him." Dear Father, I pray that you'll bless the message to our hearts this morning, specifically designed for dads. May we have your power, your blessing, your unction, your touch, so it may be just more than just words, but may the words speak to our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have every intention of returning next Sunday to the message theme entitled "This We Know." I got to thinking about that after last Sunday's message on the rapture. There's so much we don't know about end times. For instance, is all this flooding, does it have anything to do with what's going on in the state of California right now? Our land has opened the door to same-sex marriage. Isn't it amazing? So I want to talk about things that we know. We're not sure of everything toward the end times. There's a lot of things we do know. But I want to get away from that this morning because it is Father's Day. And the spiritual well-being of men in a church is so vitally important. So important. And I want to speak to that end this morning. The name Abraham receives respect from Jewish people, Arabic people, and Christian people. He is revered as a great man by all three faiths, Judaism, Islamism, and Christianity. People who revere Abraham do so because of what they know about him from the Bible. I won't take the time now. We're a few minutes late, but I won't take the time now to go through the scriptures. But what do we know about Abraham from the Bible? We know that he is the father of the faithful. We know that he is the friend of God. Family, as the physical family, as the sand of the sea, and a spiritual family as many as the stars that are in the heavens. In business, he was renowned as a businessman in his day, even in other countries. He was very successful in that end. He proved his devotion to God by preparing to sacrifice his son Isaac at God's command and God stopping him at the last second. Now, these are all good reasons for us to respect and regard Abraham very highly. That's what we know about him from the Bible. But in this chapter, and in specifically verse number 19, we learn something that God knew about Abraham. And can I say this morning? What God knew about Abraham affected how God treated him in this particular incident. Abraham was living on the plains of Mamre with his wife Sarah, and the Lord and two angels visited Abraham on the plains of Mamre, came to the tent. They ate a meal with him, with Abraham, and God made a specific promise. You remember that, to Abraham, about him and Sarah giving birth to Isaac. Remember, Sarah's in the tent and she laughs. And God says, "Why is your wife laughing?" You know, I mean, this is just proving the omniscience of God and so forth and so on. And so God makes this specific promise to Abraham and Sarah about birthing a child, even though they were beyond childbearing age. And friend, that's the difference between Christianity and Islamism. We go back to Abraham through Isaac. They go back to Abraham through Ishmael. And that's the big difference right there. Okay? Now, the Lord and the two angels were on a mission. They were not only there to talk to Abraham, but they were also headed to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city. And they were headed to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. You say what you want to. All sexual sin is sin. But there's something abominable about the sin of homosexuality. And they put their stamp of approval on it down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God turned that place into an ash heap. And we're in trouble when our country puts a stamp of approval on that kind of nonsense. Now, all sin is sin, but that's an abominable sin to God. In fact, God would not even go to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He wouldn't go. He sent the angels down there to take care of business. They went on their journey. The Lord stayed behind. Verse 17. Look at it. The two angels are on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He's talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and reason being, because Lot's down there. His nephew. So the Lord said, you know, should I hide this from Abraham? I know what's coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. Should I keep this from him? Seeing, verse number 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, I can't keep this from him. And then he says, verse number 19, for I know him. Now, what does God know about Abraham? It says this, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. God knew that Abraham was a faithful man who held the respect of his own family. I want to say something. It's one thing to hold the respect of kings and leaders and businessmen in other countries. It is something else altogether different to hold the respect of the people that you live with day in and day out, who know you better than anybody else does. Abraham held the respect of his family. And Abraham did just that. He held their respect. And men, the truth of the matter is, if we accomplish that, we will have fulfillment in life. Many men who accomplish much in other ways and fail in holding the respect of their families feel unfulfilled. They feel unfulfilled. There's something to a man about holding the respect of his own wife and his own children. Now, there is a lot of information found in verse number 19 that tells us what God knew about Abraham concerning his family and their respect for him. And I want you to understand that what God knew about Abraham concerning his relationship with his family caused God to treat Abraham in a special way in this story. He said, you know what? Because Abraham holds the respect of his wife and his children, I'm not going to keep this from him. And he tells Abraham, I'm going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He treated Abraham special, in a special way, because Abraham held the respect of his family, because of what God knew about his relationship with his family. What did God know? Three things. Number one, God knew Abraham would lead his family. He knew he would lead his family. Look what it says, verse number 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household. Now, folks, slice it, dice it, cut it, chop it, grind it, mince it. What are you going to do with the word command? What are you going to do with it? There it is, plain as day. You can't take... What are you going to do with the word command? You say, well, I'm sure... You know what it means? It means command. It means rule. It means lead. You know, see, God's design for the family included a man to stand at the helm as husband and father and guide the ship. That's... Now, I understand this morning we have single moms here. We have ladies whose husbands have deserted them. We have other situations in those cases where dad is gone. God can and God does do special things to help a family in those cases. But I am targeting this morning the families in this church whose dad is in the home. God said one of the things He liked about Abraham was that he led his family. There was no doubt who was in charge. None. No doubt. And I want to say it, I've said it often, I want to say it again this morning, fellas, on Father's Day. There is nothing wrong with the desire that's in your heart to lead your family. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you want to listen to Oprah and Dr. Phil and all these goofball psychologists and all the political pundits of our day, they're going to make you out to be a Neanderthal caveman, this chauvinistic pig, you're mentally unstable, and you got to be the leader in your home. Poppycock, foolishness, fooey on all of that. You're a man, and God put it in your heart to lead your family. And there's nothing wrong with that. And don't be ashamed of it. And don't try to suppress it. I'm going to tell you what else God did. God put it in the heart of a woman to follow. You say, what's wrong in our country? Man's philosophy is so twisted and goofed up. The natural desires of a man and a woman are tampered with. And now we got a society full of families where the man just wants to avoid confrontation. That's all he wants to do. I just want to have peace and quiet and avoid any confrontation with my wife and my children. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you're not going to go through married life with a wife and kids and avoid confrontation all the time. Amen, Brother Angel. That's good preaching. You know what? We have visitors come, and the visitors look at me like, what is he doing? And church people who've been here for years just sit there like, when's this over? Thank you very much. And if I am the only one that believes this, so be it. I don't give a rip. But I think there's some men somewhere who kind of agree with this thing. You're not going to be a dad and a leader and avoid confrontation with a woman. My wife and I have been married for 55 years. We've never had an argument. Now, you either are a liar or you got a strange color underwear on. I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Don't mean to be crass. My wife will say to me this afternoon, that's a good sermon. Good message. I'll get my own message. she's all right. Now I will for sure. No, you're not going. That's how men, they want to avoid confrontation. Just get along. And the woman wants her piece of the action. And our homes are in a mess. Now, I don't mean to sound ugly. I'm not near as concerned this morning about the homes in Bourbonnais and Illinois and America as I am the homes in this room right here. Those of you that are members of this church, you're of this flock. I'm the under shepherd, and I am concerned about us. I'm not just talking about homes in general this morning. I'm talking about homes represented in this church, Bible believing body. I'm talking about homes in chaos, whacked out, emotionally unstable, on the verge of foolish and unwise decisions, mainly because a man won't or can't lead. Won't or can't. Sometimes he wants to, but the woman will not let him. And the children won't let him be the leader. Won't let him. Now, I'm just saying the family ship will sail through troubled waters. What happens if there is no man at the helm? Again, I'm not talking about situations where a man is, God pity a man that deserts a wife and child. And buddy, you talk about God stepping in and coming to the aid of that woman and those children, He will do that. But I'm talking about those in this room this morning where there is a dad at home. I mean, brother, what happens to the family where the man is in the home, in the relationship, but he's not at the helm? The ship is tossed and thrown about with the wind. Let me ask you a question. Which way is the wind going to blow next? Can you tell me? Who knows which way the wind's blowing? That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it will. It comes from the west. It comes from the northwest. It comes from the southwest. It may come from the southeast today. It may be from the northeast tomorrow. From the northwest the next day. It may be from the southeast this hour. From the north the next hour. That's how the wind blows. What does a ship do with nobody at the helm when the wind's blowing? Flip-flops and goes every direction. That's why every home needs a leader. Every home needs a man. Every home needs a dad. Every home needs a husband who, like Abraham, will command his household. It takes a steady hand. Fellas, you're going to face emotional pressure. You're going to face physical pressure. You're going to face verbal pressure. You're going to face mental pressure sometimes from the wife and kids. Be steady. Stay the course. Lead gently when you need to lead gently. But lead. Command the home. And don't feel like a caveman for doing it. God made you that way. So He made you. So don't feel bad doing... I tell you what, feel bad if you're not doing it. Because that's God's design. The man needs to command this. That's what Abraham... God knew this about Abraham. I know him. You think God is saying this in a negative light? God is saying this in a positive light. I know him. He'll lead his family. That's what God said about him. Now, ladies, that's how it's supposed to be. And God put it in the heart of a woman who's right with God to follow her husband. It's not according to what God put in your heart for you to step in that position of leadership unless you're thrust into it by a deserting husband or a sorry buzzard. All right? God knew that Abraham would lead his family. Number two, what did God know about Abraham? Number two, God knew that Abraham would provide the example. He knew that Abraham would provide the example. Look at verse number 19. It's all in this verse. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. He would not take the approach of leading his family with do as I say, not as I do. That's the wrong approach, gentlemen. He would lead himself first, and then he would lead them to follow him. That's called setting the example. Setting the example. God said, I know this about Abraham. He's not just going to tell his kids to do one thing, tell his wife to live one way, and go do something else. He is going to embody how you're supposed to live and be the example for his wife and children to follow. God knew that about Abraham. Let me ask you a question. Do you embody what you want your family to live? Men? Are you the embodiment of what you want your family to do? When it comes to Christianity, when it comes to matters that are spiritual in nature. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just keep your finger there in Genesis 18. We'll come back there in a moment or two. Let's go a couple places. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. I think I've referenced this verse before on a Sunday morning. But let me do it again. I may not have done it on Sunday. It may have been on Sunday night. I can't remember everything that's done on Sunday morning, what's done on Sunday night. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. Now, understand the setting of this passage, okay? Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor. Okay, Paul just got out of prison. He's on his way to home. He goes by Ephesus Timothy is pastoring the church in Ephesus, and Paul stops by to see him. He leaves, and God says, I want you to write Timothy a letter. And God begins to write through the Apostle Paul. And look at what he says in the last verse of chapter 4, 1 Timothy, Paul writing the aged warrior to the young mentor, to the young disciple. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Isn't that interesting? Thou shalt save thyself. You think he's talking about soul salvation? He's not talking about soul salvation. Because there's so many other verses in the Bible that teach us you can't save yourself. And by the way, I hope you're not here of that mentality and attitude this morning. Are you going to go to heaven? Well, yes, sir, I'm going to do, I believe I am. Well, how are you going to get to heaven? I'm going to do the best I can, you know, and God's going to take all the good and all the bad and put it in a great big scale and weigh it out. And I'm hoping that my good outweighs my bad. And I'm going to get there. You can't get to heaven that way. I don't care how. It's like Bobby Robertson said, do all you can. Your can's not big enough. You can't get to heaven. He's not talking about working. He's not talking about saving yourself when it comes to heaven. He's talking to Timothy about salvaging his ministry. Are you with me, church? Okay. Look at what he says. Timothy is a pastor. He's leading a group of people, a body of believers at a local church in Ephesus. And the first four words out of his mouth are, take heed unto thyself. Timothy, the most important thing you can do as a pastor is take care of yourself. Do what? Aren't we supposed to live for others? Isn't that, you know, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, J-O-Y. That's how you have joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Here he tells Timothy, take heed to yourself. Yes, he told him that. Ladies and gentlemen, the best thing that Timothy could do for his congregation is to get out of bed in the morning, draw a circle on the floor, step inside that circle and say, Lord, fix the man in this circle. And Paul said, Timothy, if you'll do that, you'll not only salvage your ministry, but you will help them that hear thee. Who is that, folks? That's his church. That's talking about the people that are sitting in the chairs, sitting on the benches, sitting in the pews. Some are asleep. Some are dodging off. Some are looking off at the ceiling. But some in the church are listening. And he said, Timothy, the best way you can help those that will listen is to draw a circle and put yourself in it and say, God, fix the man inside this circle. That's the best thing you can do for them. Why? Because if you let yourself go, what have you got to preach to others? In the same fashion. Dads, the best thing you can do for your family is draw a circle, step inside of it every morning when you get out of bed and say, God, fix the man inside this circle. If I'm not right, how am I going to lead my wife right? If I'm not right, how am I going to lead my children right? How am I going to do that, folks? If I'm supposed to be the embodiment of what the family, how the family is supposed to live, I've got to set the example. I've got to set the pace. Provide the example. That's what Abraham did. And by the way, you say, well, this business of ruling and commanding, do you understand something? That when Abraham set the example for his family, his wife and his boy to follow and those in his household, do you understand that what he was doing was a service of love? I never saw this until this week as I was getting ready for this message. But I want to show you something in John chapter 13. Turn over there. John chapter 13 in the Gospel of John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13 and verse number 1. Gospel of John chapter 13 and verse number 1. John chapter 13 verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. All right, we don't have time this morning, but the next several verses talk about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And then He says in verse number 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Jesus loved His disciples to the end. And one of the ways He proved that love was He provided an example for them to follow. Now, I don't want to sound ugly, but dads, don't talk about how much you love your wife and children if you're not setting the example on living for Christ in your home. I don't know how much money you're knocking down. I don't know how you're doing at the bank. I don't know all this, but I know one thing. If you're not setting the example for that woman and those children who are looking to you, you don't love them like Jesus loved His followers. He loved them to the end, and one of the ways He loved them was He set the example. It's not do as I say, it's do as I do. He led them. Leading is not getting behind your family and pushing them to church and then you sit at home. Leading is not pushing your family into doing something for God and then you just sitting around doing nothing. Leading is, come on folks, let's do this. Watch, I do this, you do this, let's get involved, let's do this, let's serve God, let's read our Bibles, let's have prayer time, let's live for the Lord, let's make the choice that as a house, we're going to serve God. And you lead them, you don't shut them. And that's love. That's the definition of love as Jesus loved His disciples. He set the pace. He set the example. Now what kind of example am I setting in my home? What kind of example, Dad, are you setting in your home with your wife and your children? Love them enough to set the example. Look, I believe with all my heart that my wife is a 10 times better Christian than I am. I know she is. I live with me and I live with her. She is a much better Christian. I don't know that she's ever gotten so mad that she wanted to cuss somebody out. And I have. I don't mean I've done it, but I've wanted to. I'm like Jim Vineyard. If somebody would have said it, I'd have signed my name to it. Amen. There's many areas in the Christian life where I think my wife surpasses me, supersedes. I'm just... Phew. But I believe that I can say I have somewhat, to some degree, by God's grace, set the example in the home. Does that make sense to y'all? And according to John 13, that's loving those who follow. Setting the example. I know Him. That He'll lead His family. I know Him. He will provide the example for His family. And then God said, back to Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19. Same verse. There's so much in here. I don't have time to give it to you this morning. I got a few minutes left. God knew that Abraham would perpetuate the ways of the Lord. He knew that Abraham would perpetuate the ways of the Lord. Look at what He says. He shall command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Again, we have a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What's that mean in the Hebrew language, church? That's who? Jehovah. Now, let me ask you a question. You think there were any other false gods in Abraham's day that were the object of other people's worship? There's lots of false gods that anyone of this family could have given their worship and their attention to. But you knew what God knew about Abraham? God knew that Abraham would lead his family, watch this, in the way of the Lord. He would perpetuate the way of the Lord from his generation to theirs. Now, Brother Tom, the book will never be written on families until it's all said and done. And right now, Danny and Amy are in the same kind of church that you brought them up in. And Becca's in the same kind of church that you brought him up, brought her up in. And Dan and Kelly in the same type of church that you brought him up in. And Jody and Tony in the same kind of church. And I hope it stays that way. Why would you want to change? Why would you want to say, kids, this is good enough for me, but I know you need to go do something else? I don't believe that. If this thing's been good enough for me, it's good enough for my kids. Sure it is. This is the way of the Lord, kiddos. Let's stay in it. Let's go in this way right here. You know, when Lot left him and became entrenched in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham stayed the course, brother. It takes a man to stay in the way of God when others start departing. I remember Brother Gomez years ago. I saw him Thursday at this meeting on the church in DeKalb. Brother Caleb and I were there. And I reminded him of this. And I had only been at this church a few months when I went to hear him preach over here in Dwight at Brother Wibber's place. And from the pulpit, he spoke, as he was preaching, he said, Brother Terry, he said, you hadn't been in Bourbonnais but a few months. He said, Brother, you stay there for the rest of your life and you'll see men leave your church because of their wife and their children. Now, that hasn't happened much, but it has happened. The wife gets sour. Something just, you know. And brother, when you get sour, everything's sour. Everything is sour. You know, the music is sour. The school is sour. The youth group is sour. The service is sour. The preaching, it's just sour. Huh? The kids are fine when they're 7 and 8. When they're 17 and 18... they don't want any part of this old-fashioned religion anymore. And dad follows the children. No. God said, I know Abraham, that he's going to bring his children up in the way of the Lord. You know, I'm sorry, but I can't stand up here and watch stuff, folks, and just ignore it. Amazes me when I see new people get saved and all of a sudden this new life in Christ and they start dressing up, and I watch fellows who've been saved for years go the other way, dress down. Now you explain that to me. Good preacher, Brother Angel. It's cutting a little close to the fence post, but that's all right. You explain that to me. You explain that to me. How when new people get saved, and buddy, you see them dressing up because, buddy, they're coming to church. And you've been here 25 years and you're going the other direction. Why are we changing? This is the way we walked in. It's been a good life. It's been a good way. Okay, some of the kids may fall out along the way. God forbid, but that does happen. Some of the kids fall out along the way. That doesn't mean you follow them. Heaven help us. Stay in the way. Stay in the way. Stay in the way. Stay in those kids. You know what happens a lot of time? They'll come back around. Isn't that amazing? Where are you sitting today? Where did you used to sit in church? What are you doing today? What did you used to do in church? Are you in the same way? Are you in the same way? The same way that you were in for all those years? I know, man, sometimes the storms, brother, when kids and when wife want to go a different direction, it is very, very difficult. I want to tell you something, buddy. I don't know. Charles Weigel, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And he's an evangelist, and his wife says it's either God or me. Whew. Brother Angel, what would you do? Don't even make me think about it. I don't even want to think about it. He said, honey, I got to do what God told me to do. She left. And brokenhearted sits down at a piano and begins to pen the words to, and the music to, I believe the music came later, begins to pen the words to that beautiful song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Huh?
when his wife just walked out. That takes a man. Whew. God forbid. God knew this about Abraham. He said, you know what, I know the old boy. He said, he's going to keep us. He's going to teach his family. He's going to lead his family and be an example to his family in the ways of Jehovah God. He's not going to deviate to the right or to the left. He's going to stay the course. Families need a dad who's unwavering. Like a rock. Like a rock. Preached years ago a message. What does Jesus provide for us as His children? One of the things He provides for us as His children is stability. He's the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad when you prayed this morning, one of the angels said, you know what? He can't hear you this morning. He's in bed with the covers over his head and the blinds are closed. He's in a state of depression. How would that make you feel? What a blessing. A Savior's got the blinds closed. Now, when you pray to Him, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next month and the next year and the next century and the next millennium. You know what every family needs? Every family needs a man who will love his wife and his child, his children, the same way. Unchanging. Or should I say the only change we make for the better? Become more like Christ and less like the world. That's Abraham, the father of faithful fathers. God said He's going to lead His family, the right spirit, set the example, not pushing them, but leading them. This is how it's done. This is what you do. And then He's going to keep them in the way of Jehovah God. Keep them right there. I don't know about you men, but I have already and I plan on more talking to my family about what if this world goes into pre-tribulation days. Are we there? I don't know. But there's no cause for God's people to fall apart.
That's right.
Not even that. No. You set the example. You lead your family. You keep them in the way of God. And you stay there, stay there, stay. May the Lord find us faithful. Why would you take a Sunday morning and bring a message to the men? Because the strength of a church depends on the strength of its men. And now, we can't exist without the female gender and all that the ladies do, my goodness. And you add that feminine grace. Can you imagine a church with nothing but male gender? Nobody to sit, you know, quietly. No. But a church's strength is dependent on the strength of its men. Now, I don't mean how much you can curl or bench press. I mean what's in here. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening on this Father's Day 2008. God, please bless our men and particularly our dads by your grace. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. Thank you for your attention. Just a couple of questions as we finish the service today. Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I would go to heaven, not because I've been good, but because I've been saved by God's grace. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand, please, all over the room this morning. You're saved and you know it. Please be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one or here, one or more here this morning? Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, man or woman, boy or girl, teenager, doesn't matter, member or visitor, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody like that here today on this Father's Day Sunday morning? All right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've been baptized since I've been saved. Baptized last Sunday night. Baptized recently on Wednesday nights and Sundays. Folks, follow the Lord and believers' baptism. That's wonderful. Are you baptized? Have you been baptized? Have you followed the Lord and believers' baptism? Brother Angel, pray for me. I've not followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Or you came to be baptized? All right. Now, Brother Angel heard the message, and I guess we better talk to dads. Heard the message, preacher. Heard the message, pastor. God spoke to my heart. I want to be that kind of dad. Abraham, the father of faithful fathers, I want to be. I want to be that kind of father. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I see that hand, and that hand, and that hand, and that hand. And God bless you, and amen. Men, God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, anybody else? Not a father, not a dad. Moms, children, but the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Brother Angel, would you lift your hand? Anybody like that this morning? All right, there are many. God bless you. If you've been saved and baptized, visit with us about joining the church. Talk to myself, Brother Caleb, Brother Bragg, Brother Jason, any of us. I want you to come. Dear Father, speak to our hearts. We need you, O Lord, to help us in these days be the kind of father Abraham was for his family. God bless us today. Bless our men. Bless these men that lifted a hand. Help us to serve you, to make that choice. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's place a song of invitation. It's invitation time. I would encourage you to raise your hand today. Step out. Don't be shy about it. Don't be modest about it. If you're a man, especially if it's Father's Day, honor God. If He spoke to you, respond. That's right. God bless you, man.